This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi. Inspire design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
Here at Audi, we have some good news to share with the world. Unfortunately, our good news is bad news for our competition. So to soften the blow, we brought in the very best at delivering bad news. Someone's mom.
The Audi A4 is the biggest, fastest, most fuel-efficient car in its class. Oh, honey, I know it's hard to hear, but it'll be okay.
I'm David Jones, inviting you to test drive an impressive new Audi A4 Premium today at Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road in Martinez, or visit us on the web at GeraldJonesAudi.com. Audi. Truth in engineering.
Well, for the last 9 years, Karen Krause has been a sports columnist for the New York Times. She had a piece last weekend about some trouble the PGA Tour might be facing with its year-long wraparound season. It's a pleasure to welcome Karen Krause to the Augusta Golf Show for the first time. Hello, Karen.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's a real pleasure.
Thank you for doing this. The gist of what I got from your piece last week from the BMW was that a lot of the touring pros are tired, and the long grind might just mean they're taking an extended period of time off. Tell me what you found out in Denver.
Well, yeah, I'll give you a couple of examples. The one that struck me the most was Henrik Stenson. He is the defending FedEx Cup champion, and he came into the BMW Championship on the bubble, meaning he had to play well to get himself into the position where he could defend his title this week at Eastlake. So he fell short of that. He's not going to be part of the 29 player field this week, so he will not be able to defend that title. You'd think he would be heartsick over it. He told us that it was, the way he looked at it was a win-win situation. If he got into the top 30, he would be able to defend his title, and he would very much like to do that. He likes playing Eastlake. But if he didn't, if he failed as he did, he would get rest, and that was a positive too, because frankly he said he was really tired and needed the break. Remember, Henrik won the money title on both tours last year. So after going through the PGA Tour playoffs, culminating with the Tour Championship, he went to Europe and finished the race to Dubai and secured that money title. So he basically had no time off. He was just getting back on the treadmill in 2014 and trying to replicate last year's play, which he said he was just exhausted. So I think when you have a defending champion express ambivalence about not being able to defend his title, you have a problem. I don't think that was what Tim Fincham, FedEx, or Coca-Cola had in mind when they created this tournament. Then you had Jeff Ogilvy, a really thoughtful player, who at the end of July was 151st in the point standings. Didn't think he had a prayer of even making the first round of the playoffs. In fact, it's sort of in his mind, given himself the eight weeks off, and was thinking, how am I going to spend the next 8 weeks away from golf? Wins the tournament in Tahoe, gets into the first playoff event, plays well enough to get into the second event, plays well enough to get into the third event. Lo and behold, finds himself somewhere he never thought he would be this week, here in Eastlake, playing in the Tour Championship. After achieving this, which is somewhat remarkable, he said, you know, to be honest with you, I'm not exactly thrilled that I have to play one more week. I'm exhausted. So you have these two players who should be thrilled unequivocally about this opportunity to play for a $10 million bonus plus the $1.4 million winner's check. And instead, they're just they're exhausted. Mentally, they're exhausted. Physically, they're exhausted. Bubba Watson gave me perhaps the best analogy I could think of when trying to give an overview of the situation. He said, it's as if you were interviewing the Super Bowl winners, and he said, so, how do you plan to play your opponent in 2 weeks? Because that's essentially what you have. The people who are playing here have 3 weeks off before the first event of the new wraparound schedule. People in the Ryder Cup have a whole whopping 1 week before the fries.com, the first event of the new season. I just think it's become, you know, a marathon for these players, and they just aren't able to manage their schedules well enough to be playing at their peak in these big events.
Well, Karen, how much, and you mentioned the purses, how much of this is about the money? I mean, you could never win a golf tournament out there. You can finish top 10 many weeks and make a pretty good living.
As Briony Baird is Exhibit A of that, right. I think the problem with talking about the tour is you can't speak in generalities, because it's almost like you have a class system. So at the very top, you have the elite players, the one percenters, if you will, who have won majors, the Rory McIlroys, the Bubba Watsons, although he says he doesn't consider himself one of these elite players. But the people who, their schedules for next year are set. They're going to be able to get into any event that they desire. So they can come up with the schedule that works for them the best, because they're in the upper echelon. They've qualified on their merit for all the majors, all the World Golf Championship events, etc. The next level are players who are trying to get into top 50 in the world and secure that standing so that they can get into the bigger events. Players that are maybe right now on the outside of the World Golf Championship events who have not qualified for all of the majors. So they are going to have a different schedule than the players whose spots in those events are already secure. Then you have players like Jeff Ogilvy was this year, a major winner who had kind of fallen on hard times and was trying to play his way back into world prominence. And you have players who are just getting off the web.com tour and are starting out wanting to prove themselves. So these guys have a completely different mindset and schedule than the other two groups we just discussed, because they need to get as many points and make as much money and finish as high as they can whenever they play to improve their standing. And so I think what you have when you have this stew of different sort of priorities and expectations is it's hard to say, okay, let's come up with one system that's going to satisfy all this. So the fall event series is terrific for the players that are trying to improve their status, who are trying to get to that elite level. Jimmy Walker is Exhibit A for someone who came out, had never won on the PGA Tour, won three times in the first 6 months of the season, was able to ride that momentum out the rest of the season as if he was riding a wave. So now players are looking at Jimmy's success and saying, wait a minute, I really need a break, but if I take October and November off, there's going to be someone like Jimmy Walker, maybe even Jimmy himself, he's going to start hot, and when I finally do return to competition, I'm going to be way behind in the point standings and the money standings. We were all joking last year when Tiger came back to the tour in January, and, you know, he was already like hundreds of points behind Jimmy Walker because Jimmy had gotten off to such a fast start. Mm-hmm. So the way the system is right now, you have all these different players with different priorities, and so I think everyone is just playing probably more than they should to achieve peak performances.
How does the tour react to this sort of stuff?
Well, Commissioner Tim Fincham just gave his State of the Tour address and said the wraparound season was a great success from a fan standpoint, from a sponsor standpoint, from, you know, so that tells you where, you know, he's coming from. I think a lot of the players are just saying, when are we going to rest? Now, Jeff Ogilvy told me something that he was not saying anything shocking because we're already seeing it, that he thinks you're going to see a situation increasingly where the top names, the best players, again, that 1% that has the ability to make his own schedule, their own schedule, you're going to see them disappear after the Ryder Cup or after the Tour Championship, whichever is their last event, and not reappear until the Florida Swing in March. So if the PGA Tour is not going to give them a break, they're going to create a break for themselves, which is horrible news for the fall event tournament directors and the California Swing tournament directors and the Hawaii Swing tournament directors, because they have no chance of getting these guys in their events. But you can't blame the players. They need to recharge their batteries. They need to spend time with their families. And that's how they're going to navigate this system.
She is Karen Krause, columnist for the New York Times. It will be interesting to see how all of this plays out over the winter and to your point, the California Swing. Karen, thank you for taking the time to do this. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.